Growth requires change, and to grow, we've talked about that. To grow spirit, you got to grow. To grow spiritually is a multidimensional growth. You got to grow in your faith. You got to grow in your relationship. You got to grow in your relationship with God. You got to get hungry for God. You got to grow in your service. You got to grow in your giving. We've been talking about that. And last week we talked about getting hungry for God. How do you do that? And today I'm going to talk about how do you grow in your relationships, in your fellowship with God and with God's people? Because one of the things that's going to happen as you grow in your life, in your journey with God, is he's going to put you next to people that sharpen you, that make you better. Here's what I say. You know, there are some people, I'm learning all the time. And sometimes I'm learning what not to do. And some people are good at teaching you at what not to do. And when they ask you, you know, when they, oh, I really learned from you what not to do. And sometimes we just can make mistakes. And we need to learn from those mistakes. Amen? Yeah. Booker T. Washington said this, those who are happiest are those who do the most for others. And one of the things that happens when we grow in our relationship for others, when we grow in our fellowship with one another, we grow in our giving without even realizing. We grow in our service without even realizing. We grow in areas we never thought we would grow in. Relationships make you better. 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 You see, fellowship was a high priority in the New Testament. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. See, the byproduct of walking in the light, which is the kingdom of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the light. When we walk in that, the byproduct of that is we get new friends. We get fellowship with one another. We gain what the Bible says and calls the household of faith, the family of God. Aren't you thankful for the family of God? I love the family of God. A few weeks back, I said this, the more pagan a culture, the greater the need for fellowship and community development. The more pagan, the more sinful the culture gets, the more need for fellowship there's. I'd say it even this way. The more secular a culture gets, the further away it gets from God when it thinks it can manage its own stuff, the more the need for fellowship in the body of Christ. We've got to have that. Here's an amazing statistic that happened not long ago. The number of lonely Americans has doubled since the 80s. People are more lonely now than ever before. And you think, that can't be. We got Facebook. Look how many friends I got. Listen to me. That is pseudo fellowship. if you don't believe me, you just say something to challenge their view or to, you know, challenge their way of what they're doing, and they'll unfriend you. Real quick, like, I've been unfriended a few times, and that's okay. They eventually come back around. See, here's the deal. We don't feel close to people anymore. And that's staggering. Huh? Here's why that's staggering. Do you realize that loneliness is worse than obesity when it comes to longevity? Makes me feel better. I got a lot of friends. I don't know about the other side of that, but I'm telling you, hey, you know, it is, and we'll talk about this in a minute, It is the one thing that God said was not good about creation. It's that when Adam named all the animals, and Adam kind of looked around in self-awareness, and then God said, it was not good that man was alone. And then he made him a partner. He made Eve so that he wouldn't be alone. It was the not good. How many of you know the not good of creation is still the not good of our world? It is not good that you be alone. Yeah. Fellowship with God was important in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says this. Then man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord. This is after they had sinned. They heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord, God, among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to man, where are you? Where are you? I'm just glad that God is still calling. Where are you? Where are you? Glory to God. He's still after us. He's still in pursuit of us. He was in pursuit of Adam. They had sinned. But God continued the habit of what? Coming in, fellowshipping with him in the cool of the day. He just loves to commune with his creation. God loves to have a conversation with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who don't want to hear me talk. But God does. Hallelujah. That's okay with me. You know? And then I have some people who talk too much in my life. What? I don't know if you have any of those people in your life. And you know, the truth of the matter is, sometimes I've been that person. But God never tells me, you've talked enough today. God never tells me, I don't want to hear about your business. God never tells me, zip it. Well, he might when he's trying to tell me something. You understand? Hey, listen. Man hid from God. And God comes down and says, where are you? Now, the truth of the matter is, what keeps us separated? Well, we know what separated Adam and Eve was sin, disobedience to God. And there's something in the heart of man that keeps men and women separated from one another, not walking together. Well, just think about it for a moment. What, you just ask this question, what keeps Christians separated from one another? Do you know in Leon County there's between 250 and 270 churches? There's 290,000 people in our Leon County. That means there's enough space in all those churches for 1,000 people in each church. Just get rough or two or whatever. We just are good about division. And what keeps us that way is pride, spiritual pride. I'm right and you're wrong. You didn't know that, did you? I'm right, you're wrong. That's spiritual pride. That's spiritual pride. I'm a better Christian than you are. That's spiritual pride. Amen? Someone said there was four types of pride. There's a face pride, there's a race pride, there's a place pride, and there's a grace pride. Pride. Pride occurs when self ascends to the throne. To the throne. And here's what I've known. The truth of the matter is this. It's easier to recognize pride in others than your own heart. You know, it's everybody else who's got the pride problem, not me. No. We're all guilty. Well, maybe I shouldn't put you in that if you haven't recognized the fact that, but I'm telling you, I know me. And we're all guilty. Pride hinders fellowship. You see, Scripture is marked with some amazing people who had a fellowship with God that did amazing things. In Genesis chapter 5, it says this in verse 22. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. And then he was no more because God took him away. Poof. He's gone. Poof. Why? God enjoyed his fellowship so much, he brought him home. Isn't that beautiful? That's wonderful. And one day he's going to do the same thing for his church. Glory to God. The trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good that way. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says this. And this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked faithfully with God. Praise God. And God told him, build a boat. Build an ark. Took him 120 years to build an ark. And everybody around him thought, that man is crazy. That man is crazy. You'd have thought the same thing of Noah. Because it never rained up until that point. You crazy, Nosey. You crazy. And then the rain started. He walked with God and heard things nobody else was capable of hearing. Help us to walk with him. Amen. And in Acts chapter 13, it talks about David. Listen to this. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testifies concerning him. How many of you know if God is saying something about you, that's a pretty good deal? Huh? I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Can you imagine God saying that of us? I love Freedom Church because they're going to do everything I want them to do. Woo. Help us, Lord. That's a heart that's amazing. That's a heart that has a fellowship we should all desire to have with God. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says this. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, we are called into fellowship. God is faithful. Who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the beauty of that fellowship of being called into his son, you get his family. You get brothers and sisters in the Lord. Huh? Well, Pastor Larry, I don't know if I like his family. Let me just look at that person next to you right now. They are weird. And guess what? They just like you. Weird. They do strange things. They can't keep their mouth shut sometimes either. They tell things they're not supposed to tell and don't tell what they ought to tell. They just like us. And what's that make us? Family. Amen. We're family, and we're called into this. See, fellowship in the New Testament was a priority. Listen to this, Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Four things: the teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Breaking of bread was communion. Fellowship meal. Fellowship meal. I don't like that church. They eat all the time. They just want to eat. Because that's what the New Testament did. We're just following the New Testament pattern. Have some chicken. Enjoy life a little bit. You see, the problem with a lot of people is they think church is just prayer. They think church is just worship. But church is more magnificent than that. It's friendship, it's fellowship, it's carrying and bearing one another's burdens throughout life. We're all going to need somebody. And that's the power of fellowship in the church. We need one another. Amen? It's hard to be isolated. Well, you have to work at being isolated in the church. But some people are pretty good at it. They've specialized. You have to be very careful. And then I've heard some, I get my fellowship, my God experience in nature. Can I tell you something? I love creation. But creation is one segment of what God created. And to only enjoy creation is to miss out on a lot of stuff God did. You know? The problem with isolation in nature is you start to believe what you think. Because you need to be challenged. You need to be challenged in what you think about the Bible. You need to be challenged about what you think about your spouse, your children. You need to be challenged in your thought process. Because I know people can gravitate to bad things in their thoughts if it's not challenged. If it's not challenged. Yeah. Well, I get all my fellowship on Facebook. Yeah. And Facebook has robbed you of a lot of living, too. Snapchat! Yeah. Listen. There's nothing like face-to-face time. And learning to commune with fellow human beings. Fellow believers. Here's what science has taught us about the power of loneliness. The power of loneliness. Living alone increases the risk of suicide for young and old. Lonely individuals report a higher levels of perceived stress even when exposed to the same stressors of non-lonely people and even when they are relaxing. In other words, lonely people are stressed out. We need people to function properly. Here's the other thing that's interesting to me, and you'll hear this in a minute, is lonely people have stress and high blood pressure. Number three, the social interaction of lonely people are not as positive as those of other people. How many know your mental status sometimes presupposes some things that happen in your life? And when you presuppose, I don't like Pastor Larry, guess what? You ain't going to like Pastor Larry. That's right. I told someone this the other day. Listen, you hang around me long enough and I'll give you an opportunity to practice forgiveness. And that's the truth. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to disappoint you. And we as the Christian community do a great deal of talking about grace till we got to show it. Yeah. Yeah. Loneliness rises the level of circulating stress hormones and levels of blood pressure. In other words, you're just... You love living that way, don't you? Not really. But this is what happens. We get used to living a certain way, a certain pattern, and we accept that. We accept it. Can I tell you, there's a different way to communicate with your spouse. There's a different way to communicate to your children. When I was growing up, my mama, I love my mama. She's in heaven now, so I can say this. She yelled at us more than anything else. Pick those kiddo toys up. Pick this, everything. Let's have some fun. Life ain't perfect. It ain't gonna be perfect. You know what? And I still don't make my bed. Poor Linda. Here's the other thing that loneliness will do. It will destroy the efficiency of sleep. You won't have deep sleep. You'll have anxious sleep. It will destroy the efficiency. You'll wake up more at night and spend less time in bed actually sleeping. Can I tell you, we need one another. We were designed to walk in fellowship. It is still not good for man to be alone. We are called to share life with one another, share life together. Hallelujah. This whole idea in the New Testament is called koinonia. This idea of participating in life together. Wow. The idea is used most in the Old Testament, in the Greek Old Testament, called the Septuagint. It's used in relationship to God and man. This idea that we share life together. Is that not an amazing thing that God wants to share his life with you? Hallelujah. In Israel, the common meal implies a close relationship, which binds the participants one to another. Isn't it amazing that in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord shows up and he says, go cook me some food. Abraham. Listen, he didn't have the microwave back then. He had to go slay the animal, skin the animal, bake the animal, and then wait. We're talking 3 or 4 hours of duration of conversation with the angel before the angel got to the subject of why he even was there. Relax. Take a little time and enjoy the company God has placed around you. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says this. It's talking about our day. You know what they're saying? In our day, because life is so busy. How many of you know life is busy? Life is busy. And a church of 1,020 years ago, that same metrics of a church, they're running about 430 people today. If they were 10 years ago, they'd be running 1,000. Why? Because people don't have as much time on Sunday as they used to. There's more people working on Sunday, more people having obligations on Sunday, and so on and so forth. So in average, well, you can expect people, a part of your church, to show up about 50% of the time because of life. Listen, can I help? I'm going to help you right now. When people show up and you say, you weren't here last Sunday, you're not helping them. You know what I mean? You're just not helping them. Embrace the people that show up in your life. Amen? Don't make them feel like sticks of mud. And sometimes we in the church are guilty of that. Where you been? Well, life is hard. Life is busy. I'm here. Aren't you glad you're here? Amen. I'm glad you're here too. Hallelujah. Let us, Hebrews 10, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we possess. For he who possessed is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah! You see, fellowship with God and a special fellowship with other believers takes place when we gather together. I love coming to church. Huh? I remember we were real little. We were pastoring in Gibsonville. Ben wasn't very old. He could barely talk. Things. He said, oh, Daddy, we're going to church to see all our sins. You because he couldn't say F. Friends, that's what he meant to say. I never forgot it because there's a lot of truth in that. There's something powerful about walking with people who are not perfect. Loving people who need to be loved in spite of where they are and the choices they've made. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of his love flowing through us. It's beautiful. Yes. Listen, I know this. Here it is. When our fellowship with God is lacking, it's hard to be in fellowship with other believers. We struggle to be in fellowship with other believers. We don't even want to be here when our fellowship with God is not good. And that's just the nature. You should know that. It's a good indicator. That means what? I don't feel like going to church. You know what? That means you probably need to be in church. That's just the way it works. I don't know about you. We fellowship with the light. 1 John 1:6. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not you be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and the wicked have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? You and I have to be more intentional about our fellowship with what other believers. We have to make the habit that creates fellowship in our life. What does that mean? It means you need to look at your schedule. Amen? You need to learn to schedule fellowship. Schedule fellowship. I can't be here every Sunday, Pastor Larry. It's just the way it is. Okay. Can you eat dinner one night with the church folk? I mean, church is bigger than Sunday morning. Amen? Yeah. Now I'm going to get some of you. If you show up 5 minutes after church starts and leave right away when the Love Boldly sounds, and never stick around saying, hi, how you doing, let's go to lunch, your fellowship is going to be lacking. Can I tell you? Someone needs, wants to get to know you. Huh? Proverbs 18:24. This is the New King James Version. The man who has friends must himself be. The man who has friends must himself be. Help me, Lord. But there is a friend who sticks closer than the brother. Now, if you're going to have friends, you got to be what? Friendly. Smile a little bit. Stick around a little bit. Shake a few hands. Tell a fish story or two. You know, we Christians make the mistake and the assumption that every time someone... Well, I should say people make the assumption because I'm the pastor, all I want to talk about is pastoral things and Jesus. I mean, I, it used to be a long time ago, all people want to talk to me is about church. You know what? I kind of live church 24/7. I'd like to talk about fishing. I'd like to talk about golfing. I mean, I just like living life. Because my life isn't centered around just us gathering. It's the totality. Do you understand that? Help us, Lord. It's okay to talk about your car. In church. I hope you have a cool car. Huh? Yeah. Here's the other thing you can do. Help yourself. You got to create atmospheres where you can get in a small group. We're getting ready to do this Love Boldly campaign for 4 weeks. Get in a small group. And if you can host a small group, host a small group. Because it is awesome what you learn from other people. And the friendships. Do things with others. Go to lunch after church. Share your hobbies, your golf, your fish. Share your spiritual journey in Bible study and prayer groups. You have to fight to stay in fellowship in a complex world. But it's worth the gain. Amen? It's worth the gain. A cup of coffee with a friend is a very spiritual adventure. Amen? Stand with me, would you? Why don't you bow your heads? I want to pray for somebody. If you're in this place today and you say, Pastor Larry, I am feeling alone and I need God to help me change the way I'm living. Would you raise your hand? Yes, 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 yes. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Larry, I don't know what it is to have fellowship with God. And I want to discover what it is to have fellowship with God anew. Would you raise your hand? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Listen, I want everybody to pray this prayer with me, especially those of you who raised your hand. Now, this is just a prayer. I'm going to give you the words to say. You got to mean it in your heart for it to have roots, have effect in your life. But I'm convinced that you want it to because you raised your hand. So I want everybody in this house to pray this prayer after me because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But you know you need greater fellowship in your life and especially with God. So pray this prayer. Everybody pray this prayer after. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to help me. It's taken me a while to get to where I am. And I don't like where I am. I need you to change some things about my circumstances, my situation. And first, Lord, I need a relationship with you. So I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of all my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me by your blood. Thank you, Lord, that your word declares that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. Thank you, Lord, for restoring fellowship in my life with you today. And now, Lord, help me to embrace the people you put in my life. People that will love me and people I get a chance to love. Help me, Lord, to change, to be more friendly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.